Matthew 6. We're still in the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew 6, we'll read verses 9 to 15. Because if you know anything about this passage in the Word of God and in this model or pattern prayer that the Lord is teaching us, is that He goes back and He re-emphasizes something that's in this prayer. And you'll know what that is from verses 14 to 15. It's what we would call a re-attack. Let me go back and re-emphasize this. And so let's read Matthew 6, 9. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And remember, before this, in 6:6 of Matthew, Jesus said, when thou prayest. So when you pray. So we ought to always, Christian, you ought to be one that prays. When? Every when. So after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and our text for today, verse 12, and forgive us our debts. Interesting, calls it a debt, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors or those that are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Very important point to make. Now turn over to Luke chapter 11. Let's look at that passage. Luke 11, we'll just read verse 4. It's a little different than what we read in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6. In verse 4, chapter 11, Jesus says, and forgive us our sins. Matthew 6, forgive us our debts. For we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. We forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those two words, as we, are very important. And we'll see that in a minute. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Luke, forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. That is, when they've sinned against us. How often have I bowed in prayer unto my Heavenly Father, though with an unforgiving heart? Actually bowing in prayer and saying, Lord, forgive me, and yet I haven't forgiven someone that sinned against me. Let's pray and then we'll move on. Lord, we ask for your blessings. Our Father which art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us for our sins as we forgive those that are indebted to us. Help us to understand. Help us to practice this, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how often have I bowed in prayer to my Heavenly Father with an unforgiving heart towards someone who has offended or hurt me? You hurt me, and so I'm not going to forgive you. Have you ever heard someone say, I will never forgive them? I've heard that. I've actually seen it in practice. Still to this day, I know someone, I won't tell you who it is, nobody here. And they carry an unforgiving heart towards someone else. How can they go and ask God to forgive them? How can you ask God to forgive you if you will not forgive those? Notice, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Just like, Lord, forgive me like I forgive. is basically what he's saying. Listen, there is so much unforgiveness in the world, so little forgiveness in the world today. Of course, there's I can never forgive him. I will never. Now, listen, I understand the difficulty, I think. We ought to all understand that, yes, there are times when this is very difficult. In fact, we'll see it later on in the message when Jesus says, you forgive your brother as many times as he sins against you, your sister. As many times? How often? Well, when he comes and sins and he asks you to forgive him, you forgive him. And the apostles right after that said, you remember what he said, what they said? Increase our faith. Listen, this is an act of faith to forgive. And so, in the world, listen, the world will permanently mark you if you watch any bit of the news and you hear this culture now when somebody does something wrong. Everybody's going to do something wrong. There are no perfect people in the world. The last one to ever live and walk upon the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there are no perfect humans. Everyone's going to have times when you offend someone else or you're offensive. And so we're going to sin against our neighbor. We're to confess our faults one to another. Pray one for another. James says this. But listen, the world hates Christ and they hate the church. But they exercise a censorship and a discipline that is severe. You see people in the news. They did something wrong. And it was wrong. And they say, please forgive me. And what does the world say? No. The world puts a stigma on them. You know what a stigma is? A stigma is a permanent mark. It means in the old Greek language, a tattoo. You can't get rid of it. And so they stigmatize those. The world stigmatizes those that do things that offend them, and they'll never let you live it down. And so you ask the world to forgive you. The world says no. And again, they permanently mark you. The Bible says in Psalm 130 concerning that mark, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God put a mark on us that was irremovable, who shall stand? Verse 4, Psalm 130 says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. In fact, Psalm 103 teaches us how God forgives us. Listen, God forgives us in a way that's very difficult for us. Listen, we forgive, but so often we remember, and we do remember, but God forgives and God forgets. And only as God can do it. Listen, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, the Bible says, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so great is his mercy or his compassion towards those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions, our marks from us. That's how God forgives. In Isaiah 43, he says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. The world remembers your sins. And they'll call them. Listen, they mark people. You know you've seen it. They mark people for life. Now, what exactly is forgiveness? What precisely is it? What does it mean that I have forgiven someone? What does it mean to forgive? What am I doing when I forgive someone that has sinned against me? When they've hurt or offended me? Well, if we would understand the act of forgiveness, we must first understand what the word forgive means. It means to let go. It means to put away. It means to release as one would someone from a debt. In a sense, like a financial debt. I used an example in the back. If I lent you $5, you owe me $5 and say, look, I'm going to give you $5. So you know you're indebted to me. But if I come and say, I don't worry about it, I've released you from the debt of the $5. It might not be a great example, but here it's called a debt. It also means to put away an offense, to release or let one go who has sinned against you. When we read the word debt, it's release them from debt. It means to not hold something over someone's head. Now, I told the young ones I would use an example, and I'll use this example now. Anyone have heard of Warwick Dunn? Warwick Dunn was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and he moved to Baton Rouge at some point. He became a famous college football player, played for Florida Seminoles, I believe. And then he went on to a great NFL career, played for the Atlanta Falcons. His mama was a police officer in Baton Rouge, and she was murdered. She was protecting, I think, the company that empties the ATM machines. It was something like that. And I watched his testimony. I encourage you to do that. You can see his testimony on YouTube. And he says that thing had him, that these men were in jail that had killed his mama, until he went and sat across. Warwick Dunn's a big man, played running back. Went and sat across from the very man that killed his mama and said, "I forgive you." He didn't ask for forgiveness. But Warwick Dunn went over there and he says, "When I did that, it released me. That thing had its grips on me." He felt like he was imprisoned to that. Because, you know, you're thinking all those thoughts. Now, let me tell you, you think that wasn't hard? You're sitting across from the very human that murdered your mama. He's released from it. You watch his interview. It's pretty compelling. You see that. And so when you listen, I want you to think of this in the sense of, if you're a Christian now, you think of these words, "I could never forgive someone." And I want you to remember what the Lord has forgiven you, and for that which you never asked him. Do you ask God to forgive you for every single offense that you ever commit? You don't even know the half of them. And so listen, three things about this passage. First, we see our request to our Heavenly Father for forgiveness, for our daily sins, for our spiritual failures, for cleansing, for our offenses against him. Second, we are asking God to forgive us as we forgive those that have sinned against us or those that are indebted to us. And then third, there's that grave warning to any who refuse to forgive their brother, their sister, their neighbor, or their friend. So first, you might ask, why am I asking for forgiveness for my sins when God has completely forgiven me and saved me from my sins in the atonement of Christ? That's true. I've been saved from my sins. The Bible says he's cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. Forgive us our debts or our sins. In fact, let me show you. Look at Isaiah 38:17. Turn back to the Old Testament. Two references. Isaiah 38:17. We're talking about being forgiven. In Christ, you've been saved from your sins. You've been forgiven for all of your offenses, all of your sins. So you might ask, why am I asking for forgiveness for my sins when God has completely forgiven me? Isaiah 38:17. Notice the prophet writes here, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." All my sins. Then turn to Micah 7:18, the prophet Micah. The prophet Micah, chapter 7 and verse 18. The prophet Micah. So remember, we're on forgive us our debts. You're asking God to forgive you for your sins. Now, think about this, what Micah says. He says in verse 18 of 7, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And then lastly, 1 John 1:7, all the way to the back of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. So in this model pattern prayer in which Christ is teaching us how to pray, he says the fifth petition here is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, so why am I asking for forgiveness if I am forgiven for all of my sins in Christ? If I am justified in the eyes of God, why am I asking for forgiveness? Well, the first and primary reason is this, because the Lord Jesus is teaching us to do so. That's why. That's the first and primary reason. And also, this is the prayer of a child of God. It's not the prayer of a lost sinner. In fact, you children of God are the only ones that have the right and the privilege to call God Father. The lost cannot say Father. John 1, 13, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, i.e. the right or the privilege to be children or sons and daughters of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You've been given the right and the privilege that no one else has but children of God. He is your Father. He's not everybody's Father. So only the child of God can say, our Father. This is the prayer of a Christian. Our Father, which art in heaven, forgive us our debts. Or more personal, forgive me my debts as I forgive those that have sinned against me. This is the prayer of a Christian. You hear people all the time say, let's say an Our Father. We don't say prayers, brethren, we pray. Many utter those words mechanically, not knowing what they're saying. And they'll go through it. I used to do it. Our Father which art in heaven, you just go through it. When all the time God was not my Father. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, means lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. Children of God. Sons of God literally means children. Adopted into the family of God. You're the only ones that can say our Father. And so that's why we pray this. So that we understand the forgiveness that we are asking for is not that we would be saved from our sins, but that we may be cleansed from the sins which will rise up and easily beset us. Let me give you an example. Go to John 13. And this was at the Lord's Supper or at the Lord's Passover with his apostles. John 13, I think this will help you to understand why we are asking for forgiveness. I think the Lord explains it here. He explains it actually in a practical example which he shows his apostles. Or actually, he does with them and to them. Notice in verse 4, John 13, 4, says, he, Jesus, riseth from supper. In fact, verses 13 to 17, it's all in this time in his private ministry to the disciples. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He put it around his waist. After that, he poureth water into a basin, a bowl, a big bowl, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, the first thing I want you to know is there weren't any paved sidewalks back then. It was dirt. These were some dirty feet. Nasty, dirty feet. And Jesus sat down and washed every one of their feet. In fact, that's what you would do in that culture in those days. When somebody came in, the master of the house would wash the feet of their guest. Jesus answered him, Simon Peter, he cometh to Simon Peter, he's washing their feet. Peter said, basically, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, Peter, what I do now thou knowest not, but you will know hereafter. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't, you have no part with me. Peter said, well, wash everything. Give me a complete bath. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. Now, here's what Jesus was saying there. He that is washed or bathed, you've taken a complete bath. He that is washed needeth not or does not need to wash his whole self, but is clean, and you're clean completely. He's not talking about a bath. He says you're completely clean. You're already clean through my word, which you have believed. But not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So Jesus is telling them, you've been cleansed through the word which you believed, but not all of you. That's why you know what he's talking about. And he says, you're all clean, but not all. He's talking about Judas. And so he's talking about walking through the filth of this world, brethren. Walking through the filth of this world, your feet are going to get dirty. And so we need daily washing and cleansing from the filth of this world and from our daily sins. And so Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me give you some passages for that. Go to 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1 and 8. And we'll let the scriptures teach here. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle John here writes, let's read verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus told his apostles, you're every bit clean, but not all. You're forgiven. But when you walk through the world, your feet are going to get dirty. And so you need to be cleansed. Chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's talking to Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1, notice. My little children, believing children, born-again Christians, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's a command to all of us. Don't sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so he says, I write unto you that you sin not, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Psalm 51, let me show you the heart of David, who Brother Gary was talking about. And you'll see more of David as he goes on, but Psalm 51 and verse 5. excuse me, actually Psalm 51:1. This is David's confession. It's his psalm after he sinned with Bathsheba. As a believer in Christ, as a believer, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest." He's agreeing with God that he had sinned. He's acknowledging his sin. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Proverbs 28:13, don't turn there. "He that covereth his sins," or "she that covereth their sins, will not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And so listen to me. "Our Father which art in heaven, forgive me for my sins." It's the prayer of a child of God. So back to our text. Next, the second part of this petition is, "Forgive us, Father, forgive me," bring it down to be intensely personal, "forgive me for my sins," and here, listen, "as I," or "we, forgive those that have sinned against us." Forgive me just like I should be forgiving others. Deal with me, Heavenly Father, as I have dealt with my neighbor and my friend, and as I have dealt with my enemies and those that hate me. We asked the question this morning to some of the young people, are we to forgive our enemies? Are we to forgive those that hate us? The answer is yes. We use this example. Who was it who cried out in prayer for forgiveness for an angry mob that was calling for his death? And let me just say this. Did they ask him for forgiveness? They did not. The Lord Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. Think about that prayer. They don't know what they're doing. Now let me ask you a question. You think the Father heard that prayer? You know he did. And you know what? The people at Pentecost, that 3,000 that were saved at Pentecost, that's an answer to that prayer. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Many of those people turned from their wicked ways when Peter preached that message at Pentecost and said, "You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Son of God." Yes, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but you have taken, you're responsible for that sin. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." It is at this point, brethren, me included, that we must examine our own hearts to make sure we're not harboring a grudge or a spirit of vindictiveness and unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone. Because think about this. You go to pray. You go to your secret closet and you pray. And you ask God to forgive you for your sin that you've committed against him this day. And yet, there's someone that you refuse to forgive. "Forgive us our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors." "But you don't know, preacher, what they did against me." Go look at that YouTube video work done and watch that. Watch a man sit across from the murderer of his mother and forgive him. That's powerful. So listen, beloved, we must not harbor the spirit of unforgiveness toward anyone in our lives. Listen, Augustine said this, I'll quote, If you pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, while refusing to forgive those who have wronged you, this prayer, meant to be a blessing, becomes a self-inflicted curse. What you are really saying is, oh God, since I have not forgiven my brother or sister, please do not forgive me. Don't forget that Jesus is still, I want you to remember now, let's get back to where he's at. This is the Sermon on the Mount. So remember, Jesus is still sitting on top of that mountain near the northwest shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It hasn't stopped from chapter 5 and verse 1. And what does one of those Beatitudes say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know what mercy is, huh? It's compassion. And so someone who forgives is compassionate, knowing that they sin. How can I not forgive my brother or sister in all of what I've done against my God? All of what God's forgiven me, how can I not forgive them, Lord? In fact, in Matthew 5, Jesus says, if you go to the altar or you go to the place of worship, and when you get there, i.e. if you go to church, and you remember when you get there, you know what? My brother or my sister's got something against me. There's something unsettled. He says, leave your gift at the altar. Go be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Get that thing right. Forgive him. Offer forgiveness. Be reconciled to thy brother, thy sister. Then come offer thy gift. Then come and worship me. But don't think to come worship me and ask for forgiveness if you refuse to forgive the one that sinned against you. Jesus teaches us. So blessed are the merciful. Listen, those who are not merciful and compassionate and forgiving to others will receive none. Again, one of the marks of a child of God is you will be merciful, compassionate, and forgiving. Listen, forgiven people, forgiven by Christ, are, listen, forgiving people. If you're forgiven, you will be one that forgives. It's not in the character of a Christian to be vindictive. It's not. Read the Beatitudes. It's the way we all should be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not arrogant in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn over what? Mourn because I'm a sinner. Blessed are the meek, not the arrogant and the proud. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the merciful. They'll be called the children of God, the merciful people. Listen, when you are a forgiving person, you look like your heavenly Father. You resemble. It's imitating. It's like being a chip off the old block. It's how we all should be. Listen, it's one of the most prominent qualities of a child of God is they are not vindictive people. They are forgiving people. They're meek. They're poor in spirit. They're peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. That, listen, that's who we are to be, beloved. One of the most prominent marks. Listen, James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And so we're to be forgiving. A forgiving person is a compassionate person. They realize, you know what? I've been forgiven for so much. How can I not forgive you? Just a side note, and we're going to go to Matthew 18. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? And this is in regard to mercy. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Have you ever considered that the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, and when he asked Father Abraham if, like, he could have some relief in the torment, do you know what he said? Do you ever realize, just looking at this the other day, I said, wow. He said, send Lazarus. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Well, you know who Lazarus was? He was the one on earth that the rich man showed no mercy to. Lazarus was at the front of his gate, and he wouldn't even feed him. He showed no compassion, no mercy to him. And then in hell, he says, send Lazarus. Just a thought. Amazing. And he was showed no mercy. But listen, let me illustrate this thing of forgiveness in Matthew 18. I think that this parable speaks of it. Matthew 18, 21, and then we'll get on to the last and most grave warning of this. But Matthew 18, 21, this is where Peter asked the Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother or my sister? How often do I forgive them? Verse 21, 18, Matthew. How oft shall I forgive my brother? Or how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Jesus saith, I say unto thee until seven times, not seven times, until 70 times seven. And he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him, remember, owed, forgive us what? Our debts. He owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. We're going to fix this debt. I'm going to sell your whole family. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I think Luke's gospel says, frankly, he forgave him. Wow. But the same servant hears, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This man was forgiven a great debt. It's like all of us when Christ saved you from your sins, you're forgiven a great debt. And then somebody commits one sin against you and you won't forgive them. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He owed his master 10,000. He laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Same thing. And he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me to. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Forgive us our debts, Lord, Father, as I forgive my debtors. The Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. This is so important for the child of God. Listen, it doesn't match. It doesn't fit. If you're a forgiven person, but you're an unforgiving person. Forgiven people forgive. They remember what they did against their Lord. They remember the great debt that they were forgiven of, and they likewise forgive. Now, to the last part of this passage, go to Matthew 6:14. We'll read it, and we've basically been talking about this. But it's a grave warning. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So our Lord goes back in all of what he taught us in these petitions, in this model or pattern prayer. This is the one thing that he goes back to. He didn't go back to hallowed be thy name. He didn't go back to give us this day our daily bread. No reattack. He went back to forgive us our debts. And so it's very important in the mind of God. You see, forgiveness of others' sins against you is one of the excellent virtues and one of the prominent marks that the Spirit of Christ is in you. It marks you a good mark. It shows that excellent quality. See, children of God, and I've said this, are forgiven, and therefore they are also forgiving people. In fact, one of the evidences that you have been born again, forgiven for all of your sins by the blood atonement of Christ, is you readily forgive those that have sinned against you. In fact, when you read about God in the Old Testament, it says he is slow to anger, ready to forgive, it says. God is always in a posture of ready to forgive, the Bible teaches us, and that's how we should be. Too often we're ready to be vindictive. We need to be ready to forgive. It's a grave warning to any who would profess faith in Christ who refuse to forgive another, to refuse to forgive your neighbor, even your enemy. Look at Mark 11:20. Mark 11:20, and then we'll go to Luke, and we'll be getting ready to close here. But Mark 11:20, excuse me, Mark chapter 11, verse 20, and then we'll go to Luke 6. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11 and verse 20. And in the morning, and Jesus had already passed by this fig tree, and he cursed the tree. They're passing back by the fig tree, and as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. You remember, Jesus went to see if there were figs on it, and he was going to get some figs. There were no figs on it, and he cursed the fig tree. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Here's the lesson here. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Listen, you'll hear people all the time saying, well, you just got to have faith, faith and faith. No, no. Faith needs an object. We have faith not in faith. We don't have blind faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have faith as Christians in the person of Christ. And so he says, have faith in God. And then he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, this is a whole nother message. I'm not going to delve into that, but he's not talking about a literal mountain. He's talking about those mountainous, momentous things in our lives. We need to have faith in our God. Verse 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, and we know that this is not a blank checkbook. Lord, I want a brand new Mercedes. I want a Volvo. No, no, no. We pray according to the will of God. 1 John teaches us that. But look, whatsoever things you desire, and your desires should be holy desires. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When you stand praying, what's the next word? Forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. Listen, if you have unforgiveness in your heart toward any, that's the first order of business for you today, is forgive. If you have to go find that person or call them, tell them that you forgive them. Listen, they may say, I didn't ask you to forgive me. You should say, I'm just letting you know. I'm just calling you to tell you that. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father also, or your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. It's a grave warning. Luke 6:35, turn there. Luke 6:35. He says in 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And we should be like that. We should be a merciful people, a compassionate people. If someone comes to us and asks us to forgive them, we ought to forgive them. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, as a child of God, born of Him, if you're a child of God, if you profess to be a Christian, what you're saying is that you're born of God. You're a child of God. If that's who you are, then you have an heavenly Father. So if you're a child of God, born of Him, you are a partaker of the divine nature. Peter tells us that. You have a new nature. You're a partaker of the divine nature. The Spirit of God is in you. Now, Christian, you will bear a wonderful resemblance to your Heavenly Father in your life, and here specifically in this life, in how you forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Athenodorus was a philosopher to Augustus Caesar. The philosopher, by reason of his old age, begged leave of Caesar to retire from the court of Augustus, which the emperor granted. He said, "I'm old, I want to retire." In his compliments of leave, he said to Caesar, "Remember, Caesar, whenever thou art angry, that thou say or do nothing before thou has distinctly repeated to thyself the 24 letters of the alphabet." On which Caesar caught him by the hand and said, "I have need of thy presence still." This was excellent advice from a heathen. But a Christian may prescribe himself to a wiser rule. When thou art angry, Christian, answer not till thou hast repeated the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And our Lord's comments on it, "For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." I'll close with three passages, Colossians, Ephesians, and Luke. If you turn to Colossians, some final encouragements from the Word of God in this thing of forgiveness. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Paul has just taught us the doctrine of mortification here, to put off the old man. Now he's teaching us to put on the new man. He says, verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, all kingdom qualities, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any," here's the key, "even as Christ forgave you, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," that agape love, which is the bond or glue of perfectness. Listen, I need this as much or more than any of you. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Back up to Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 31. Speaking to children of God, the Ephesian Christians, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking," who are people that talk like that? People that don't forgive. "Let it be put away from you with all malice." You know what malice is? To be malicious. It's to be mean with intent. Paul says, put it all away. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Here it is again, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And finally, Luke chapter 17, Luke 17 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus again speaks to his apostles. He says, then saith he, verse 1, unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. The next four words are important. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And here's what the apostles said to the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And so, beloved, to close, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Search your hearts, brethren. You don't, listen. It doesn't fit. It's not befitting the Christian. It's not part of the new nature. The new nature compels you to forgive because you have been forgiven for so much. And so don't be an unforgiving person. Forgive them in your heart. He says that. You can say the words. You know how it is. You tell your kids, go say you're sorry. I'm sorry. It's not really, wasn't really in their heart, was it? It's got to be in your heart. And listen, you need faith for that. Because listen, sometimes people hurt us and we don't want to forgive them. Let's just be honest with ourselves. If you say, oh no, I have no problem forgiving everybody. Really? Now listen, sometimes I need God's grace. I need him to help me to be like him. And so we need his grace. And so I pray the Lord to help you with this. Amen. We're going to dismiss in prayer. We want to remember our brother Kevin. So good to see him. I know he had a little bit of difficulty Wednesday. Pray for him. Pray for Kim's brother, Rocky. He's undergoing cancer treatments as well, and also Mel. So we want to remember them. So, amen. We'll be back at 5:30. And so pray for one another. Be careful in the wet weather as we go about to drive. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we may open your word and we may be taught of thee, Lord. We pray that you would help us in this blessed thing of forgiveness. Lord, it's a beautiful doctrine. We're so thankful for it. Thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who bore in his own body, in his own soul, upon himself, the penalty, the punishment of our sins. And we're so thankful that, Father, because of Christ, we are forgiven for so much. Father, our sins are more than we can even remember, and you've forgiven us for them. So how can we not turn and forgive one who's committed one sin against us? Help us, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, of a truth, we don't want to do lip service, Lord. We want this to actually be a part of our Christian lives, and so help us. Thank you for these precious souls. We ask that you bless each one as they go to their homes. Bring us back safe this evening as we'll once again open your word. And we'll give you all the praise. We pray, again, I don't want to forget Kevin and Rocky and Mel. We pray for them. We pray for strength. We pray for healing. We look to thee, O God. We pray for these dear friends and brother, our brother, Lord. We ask that your hand would be upon them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.